You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Aren't you scared of my being here?
Should I be? Are you dangerous?
I don't know. Is your boyfriend gonna come home?
I never said I had a boyfriend.
I assumed a woman as beautiful as you.
You assumed I had a boyfriend, and you assumed I would be the kind of woman who would cheat on him. Well, I'm not. And I don't have a boyfriend. And if a bus hit me tomorrow, no one would care. It changed things?
Yes, actually, it does.
Make it more illicit. Or would there be less chance of us getting attached one night and done? Only that would happen anyway, because once you saw the real me, you would run screaming like everyone else.
I have to say, you're not who I imagined you'd be.
Surprise. You can let yourself out.
Welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks. This is our Gotham edition. We're going to be talking about Gotham Season 1, Episode 20, which means we only have two episodes left. This one is called Under the Knife. We're calling it Kill the Messenger, which is something I think we've wanted to do several times throughout this season, is kill the messenger for these shows. Although I don't think this one is going to be as ranty, at least on my end. So if you made it through last week's episode, congratulations. And
yeah.
You get a gold star.
I feel like we should be giving out badges. If you listen to our podcast and want a badge, hit us up on Twitter. I will make you one.
There you go. If you listen to the whole ranty episode, we'll make a rant badge and a canoeing badge, and we'll have all sorts of little badges. Maybe that would be just kind of fun for us. My name is Heather, and I'm joined by my podcasting partner in crime, Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hello, everybody.
So I said that on my end, at least, this probably wouldn't be a very ranty episode, because I actually, my one rant is that either on the one end or the other, either my internet or the other end, at minute 30 minutes and 18 seconds, it suddenly stopped and said the video you're trying to access is not available. And I'm like, no, I only have 14 minutes left of the episode. And I actually was really into the episode this week in a positive way, non-ranty way. What about you? Did you like this one, or at least like it better than last week's?
Oh, it wasn't very difficult to like it better than the last week, if you recall.
That's true.
But then again, I can't really say that I don't have any rants, because I started having no rants whatsoever last week, but then...
And then I started talking.
You started talking, which never ends well, apparently, because then I figured that,
hey,
yeah, there are stuff I mind, so here, have a rant. So, as of the beginning of this podcast, I do not have a rant. Stay tuned.
That can change at any moment. It's like Texas weather. Just wait 5 minutes and it will change. And I say that having experienced Texas weather, power going out, big storms, weather radio saying take cover, and me sitting in a bathroom with two cats who hated each other in the dark. Oh, this was not a fun weekend. So far, it's already a much better day podcasting about Gotham. And I have to admit, I don't say that often. Let's go ahead and get started talking about the episode. We have broken it down, and we're actually going to start with a couple of our more standalone storylines. And the first one is Ed, our riddle man, who is becoming the Riddler. I mean, he starts doing this whole, oh my gosh, I forgot the name of the comedian that used to like hack up the watermelons and such, but him just totally demolishing all these watermelons. And then we move into more of things with Miss Kringle and the cop. I don't even remember the cop's name that she was dating.
Nobody cares.
He doesn't make it by the end of the episode. We have Ed actually trying to step up and finally getting fed up with how he's seeing Miss Kringle being treated, how she's letting herself be treated. Stop that, girl. We don't want victims on this show.
Yeah.
That will be a rant I have later on. But a mini rant. It's a mini one. It's a mini one. I promise people keep listening. I'm sorry. No, we're rant free. We're rant free so far. How long can we make it rant free in an episode? So he's pretty much fed up with how this cop is treating her and wants to protect her. And in effect, this cop makes him finally cross the line. I always thought Ed was a pretty good guy up till this point, that he was really still on the Jim side of the Gotham police. And he's crossed a line now. Can he come back? Are we glad he crossed the line?
Well,
what did you think about Ed?
Let's start with the fact that currently Sci-Fi for Chicks podcast has a point in We Called It, because the very first episode where Miss Kringle showed up, we said that she's going to be the reason for Ed to become the Riddler, one way or another. Uh-huh. And look at that. It's like we called it. It's like she is. I was hoping they wouldn't make her into a victim. Because been there, done that, I've seen it so many times, it's not even entertaining. And Gotham does not have a good track record on that front. So right now they are being predictable, and predictable is boring. Sorry to call it like that, but I call it like I see it. So, since we saw it coming, I enjoyed it. Sure, because, you know, we got everything we hoped we would get at the very beginning of the Riddler transformation. We got him kill somebody. We got him giggle. Though that nervous giggle that he got was kind of, you know, both creepy and adorable.
Well, it's heading towards kind of, definitely seems to be leaning towards that Frank Gorshin kind of Riddler laugh. Like, it's coming out in him.
Yeah, like, he can't help himself.
He's changing. Yeah.
So, that was...
I'm not supposed to like this, but I like what I'm doing.
Yeah. What I did like about it was that he, didn't mean it, almost. He didn't mean to kill the guy. Just, you know, one of the songs from Chicago, he fell into my knife. He fell into my knife 10 times.
Oh dear. Yes.
Oh dear. Exactly. So that was nice, and that was kind of fitting in a way that, you know, that's what I would expect from Riddler, you know. He just, you know, happened to stab a guy multiple times. And that, oh dear, oh dear. That's an unexpected development.
That was cute how he did that. He had that whole love riddle speech that he had up there and confronting him about, I saw the bruises and you can't do that, and the cop coming back with various things. And that part, when I saw Ed stand up, it got me to the point that I was actually rooting for the Riddler. I'm like, come on, finally. This is a character, because we haven't really liked Ed this whole season, but he actually is being presented in a way we've been saying we want these future supervillains to be presented, slowly, with the build-up, not just boom, right in our face and totally already right there.
Yeah.
So, in a way, I'm glad the way they did it, even though he was annoying and out of place many times. But at least it was this slow build-up, and it did get me kind of rooting for him there. The question I have, and this is not a rant in any way, shape, or form, it is really...
Good question.
I guess out there, anybody that is a DC canon person that knows, is in the Batmans that I've seen, you didn't know who most of the supervillains were in regular life. You know, Oswald Cobblepot, Penguin, kind of a little different there. But, you know, Selina Kyle and Catwoman were never known to be the same person in my understanding. You know, that's how you could have Selina and Bruce having this relationship and Batman and Catwoman having this relationship and neither one of them knowing that the other is, you know, their secret identities. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, well, this cop has been calling him Riddle Man. He's been doing these riddles. Please don't make Jim so stupid that he wouldn't know who the Riddler is. But that also means, does that mean in this Gotham, in this universe, that Riddler's not going to have that ability to be like sneaky, you know, undercover secret identity kind of thing? Or I don't know. I don't know if I like that setup of how obvious now it was that he was the Riddle Man. And now we're going to end up eventually with the Riddler. And are these things going to connect? Are people going to be so stupid? You know, like the Superman thing with just give him a curly cue hair and take off the glasses. And it's Superman! You know, brush the hair back and put glasses on. Oh, it's Clark.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we don't have to worry about that because it's going to take years and years before David Mazouz grows up to be Ben Affleck. I think we're safe.
I want to see that morph.
Yeah, while I would enjoy for a comic-based TV show to last long enough for the kid star to become, you know, a grown-up, I'm not sure Gotham is the show that I would watch for those 10-plus years. That said, I'm pretty sure that riddles or not, Jim in the future is going to have, you know, hypothetically, a hard time seeing through the lime green suit and the diamond mask and other things that the Riddler is known for. You know, it's going to take him a while because Riddler, unlike Clark Kent, has actually a pretty good disguise. So, we'll see. Yeah. You know, we'll see. 10+ years. We have time.
Well, it did make me think, though, something that I ranted about last week was the flashbacks.
Mm.
Is this a show that if it lasts, if it gets renewed for not just a season 2, but at least a season 3 or 4, could we maybe see flash forwards? Where it's not David, it is
Ben
Affleck kind of thing, where you see the future thing and you see Ed and you see Penguin and you see, you know, you actually see them get to be super villainy and come back so that you can have a payoff, because now we've set up the Riddler. I mean, Penguin is at least doing mobstery type stuff right now. Where is the Riddler going to go now? He's just Riddle Man who, oh dear, has just killed a cop, has just stabbed a cop. Accidentally, 10 times. Oh dear. and laughs about it. And even his hair comes down, so he gets a little more manic and all that. Are we going to have a payoff, or is he going to go underground? Is he going to start living this double identity of I'm Ed Nygma?
Is he going to go Dexter?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what? So I'm amazed that I'm actually intrigued by Enigma.
Yeah.
And you know I am, because I'm actually saying his last name, which I hate. I've always hated the Enigma. I'm actually intrigued, and that scares me.
Even worse, I remember us calling him a creepy puppy at the very beginning of the show, and now I am intrigued. But I think that's the result of, you know, us being disappointed in Penguin, who along the way lost his V. We now have to, you know, hold our hopes for another villain. Maybe he will not disappoint us. Hopefully he got the memo and his development is going to be, you know, nice and steady and consistent, which is our biggest problem with the bird guy.
So we're moving our hopes, we're pinning, we're not gluing.
No, just, you know.
Pinning or Velcroing our hopes over here on Riddle Man Ed.
Yeah. I mean, they have 2 episodes left. I am pinning my hopes on Ed and, you know, hoping against all hope, you know, against all odds that they can't screw it up in two episodes. They're too busy with Milo and his major multi-episode arc.
So we're pinning our hopes on Riddleman Ed.
Yes.
And we've unpinned from Penguin because while there were brief flashes in this episode that I liked, just like Ed kills the cop, I have to admit the kill the messenger of the deliver of the flowers at the end, I liked because Penguin finally did some dirty work himself.
Yeah.
And he lied to somebody he said he would never lie to and did the whole mom thing. So he's, to me, that moment was a good turn. Everything else about Penguin in this episode annoyed me. And especially the fact that Butch definitely seems to be on his side.
Yeah. Why, Butch? You, Butch? Why? Why are you doing this to me? Tell me, why? Was I mean to
you? What did Victor Zsasz do to
Come
you?
On. I do not deserve my Butch siding with a character I no longer like. It's unfair.
I like that Maroney stepped up. Because I didn't want Maroney to just go down just because Penguin decided he's going down. I had grown to really like the whole Falcone thing with both of them becoming less of a caricature and more characters.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I really don't want to see them go yet. And it has a lot to do with what we talked about last week with Fish. We're not going to go into the Fish rant because this episode will then go way over time limit. But I don't want to get rid of our regular mobsters yet. I don't want to get rid of our normal criminals. And I've really grown to like Maroney more because he just has this deliciousness about himself. So I like that he did stand up and doesn't look like he's going anywhere.
Last week, among other many, many rants that we had, was that Penguin had a plan. And he was executing said plan because he wanted to kill Don Maroney. And, well, I said that I'm hesitant to trust and, you know, be excited about his plan because Penguin has a pattern of behavior, which is one step forward, two steps back. And just as he did that one step forward last episode, this episode was yet again two steps back. Surprised nobody. But at least this time, I felt it was justified. In a way that Don Maroney became the head guy, bad guy, gangster, whatever, of his half of Gotham for a reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He cannot be as stupid as to not notice that somebody bought the diner, restaurant, whatever, that he is a regular at. Come on!
Right.
Right? So that the fact that he noticed and decided, yeah, that's not going to happen, and then he decided to get even, was just so awesome. And the way he chose to do it, by striking at that one little weakness that Penguin obviously has, which is his mother. It was both creepy
mom, yeah.
In a way that Penguin's mother is creepy and everything that involves Penguin's mother is creepy by, you know.
Well, and when Penguin kissed her on the lips, I was like, ew, which a lot of times with, you know, kids and parents, it's not a big deal, a little peck, you know, whatever, but because she's creepy and he's creepy and they creep, it just took it to a different level.
No, everything she does is creepy by, you know, osmosis or something. It's just everything, every scene that she's in is creepy. And no matter how charming Maroney was, he was so creepy. I was like, honey, no, you're going, no, no, you're going to catch the creepy. Move away from the creepy lady.
And that's nothing against Carol Kane. She's a fabulous actress. It's how she's playing it. And she is really playing Gertrude, this really weird, off-the-wall, creepy, almost crossing the line, probably crossing the line mother who just, yeah. Carol Kane is doing a fabulous job with that. I like how Maroney played it with her.
Yeah.
And how, you know, my Gertrude and the, and all that. And then even, you know, being all gushy and really sucking her into all of this. And then him at the end, you know, when did you realize you had given birth to a monster? Either way, you and your mama, Gertrude, are going to stop pretending. You know, like, she helped Maroney really grab back some of that oomph that just makes him so deliciously mobstery. I love that.
Still, you know, I couldn't get over the creepy. I loved the scene. I loved it because it was what villains, you know, should do. Be evil and, you know, manipulate everybody and try to one-up each other and, you know, get a hit. Just, it was very well played. But after that scene, I kind of felt like I needed a shower. Which I assume was exactly what they intended. As a, you know, result. So props to them. But still, you know, I kind of needed a shower.
I wonder if they also intended the fact that those scenes were supposed to be about Penguin, but they really were more about Maroney.
Mm.
Everything was really, to me, more about Maroney and him taking control again, and Penguin still to this day thinking he has control, but he doesn't. And that's when the one moment, like I said, at the end with the whole killing the messenger, how that seemed very Penguin-like because it was totally out of emotion, out of anger, out of lashing out and vengeance and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't well thought out, but it, you know, it did get his hands dirty, but it's still all about Maroney. I'm hoping that means that Maroney and Falcone, that we're going to get some more Falcone back in this, because I think the show works when we still have that element before we're too much into the supervillains.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned that, that even though it was supposed to be about Penguin, Maroney kind of stole the scene and stole everything from him, and it's either very good or very bad, because it's either very good because it shows us that Penguin is not ready for the spotlight, and just like Ed Nygma, he's still growing into his villain persona, or it's very bad because, well, Penguin's not very good at the spotlight and he's not ready. And we'd rather have somebody else as a villain than Penguin. And, you know, yeah, Penguin is supposed to be...
Because he had such potential.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah. I can't decide if it's very, very good or very bad. I choose to ignore the whole problem and just be glad that Maroney is back on my screen. Because I missed him.
It's something I think we're just going to have to wait and see. Kind of like something else that has a lot of potential, and we're just going to have to wait and see. And that's our canoeing couple.
Yes.
Bat and Cat.
Yes. We like canoeing. Them. We like them. And before we jump into anything, can we just be girls and gush over Cat's dress? Because it was gorgeous. It was so pretty.
It was cute. It was very so cute. I like how she kind of walked, too. She still kind of walked all flump, flump, flump. The shoes hurt. And she just, you know, she looked like... This isn't my kind of stuff. Like, she carries herself totally different in her street leather wear, you know, shoulders back and everything, you know, really confident in this. She's like, dressed like a girl. It's very cute.
She was, but the dress, oh my god, so pretty. Also, if any guys are listening, do not think that Kat's statement that the shoes hurt was made for comedic purpose. Those heels really hurt. So, you know, be understanding and be patient and, you know, do what we say, because those shoes hurt, you know? So, yeah.
It reminds me, like, I would have guy friends, digression, so this is a Sci-Fi for Me podcast, I would have guy friends that would say, if girls want their hair up, like, you know, when they... We put our hair up and you grab a pencil or something. If they want the hair up, then why don't you just style it that way in the first place? And if you want to wear flats instead of heels, why don't you wear flats in the first place instead of taking them off and walking barefoot or having a spare pair of flats? And I'm like, because long hair gets hot and we like our hair down, but then it gets hot and we want to put it up and the shoes hurt and we're trying to make an outfit and it looks great. But after so long of wearing the shoes, yeah, ouch. Get them off. I will walk barefoot on the hot asphalt as opposed to continuing to walk in these heels. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of contradictory. Hey, here's your unrelated to Gotham rant. Because I've heard numerous times that, hey, why are you wearing flats? You look so, so pretty in heels. You know, you either want to say, hey, don't wear heels. Well, wear flats. They're comfortable. Go with comfortable. And then I have to listen like, hey, I don't see you that way. I'm going to hit on that leggy blonde in 10-inch heels. Anyway.
Okay, so that's a totally Gotham unrelated rant.
I said that it was unrelated to Gotham. But it's kind of...
Let's get back to our canoeing couple.
Yes, because they are adorable.
Let's make you happy. Hashtag canoeing. Which I liked the play back and forth between Bruce and Kat. The way that even the scenes were, how we have things from, like even Bruce, when he's talking to Alfred and he's saying that he's going to the Wayne event and that he's asked Kat and, you know, and Alfred is like, what's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing at all. Like, Alfred gets this cute little smile, and Bruce has this little blushing smile, and Kat, even when she's talking to Barbara later, you know, it's like, yeah, well, I'm going with Bruce, you know, so you have this whole canoeing thing, and then you juxtapose that with the two of them in this contradictory argument that they have multiple times in this episode about why did you do it? Why did you kill Reg? Why did you push him? And Kat coming back with, I saved your life, you know you wanted to do it, but you didn't have the guts. You know, this whole back and forth. So we have this total attraction, which is still canoeing. We're not shipping, we're canoeing.
Canoeing.
You have this we have this total attraction, but we also have this total opposite, opposing life view. Like Bruce, like, I would never do that. And she's saying, well, you know what? I would and I'd do it again. I liked this contrast between the two.
I did too. Aside from the fact that I could relate to Selena during the charity ball when Bruce was talking about murder. Right next to people. It was like, oh my god, Bruce, seriously? It shows how sheltered he is. Because I don't know how you do it in your neighborhood, but where I'm from, we don't talk about murder when other people can hear us. You know, there's no point in staging an accident if you're going to just admit to killing the guy. But I'm digressing. You know, I'm kind of lost my point there. Anyway, coming back, what I liked about that contrast between Bruce and Kat was that, in a way, Selena Kyle is shaping the kind of superhero, vigilante, whoever, that Bruce is going to grow up to be.
Right. And he's shaping her as well as the villain she's going to grow up to be.
Exactly. And it's just so awesome. So awesome that I could really... I'm pretty sure I could watch a show just with them. You know, cut out the annoying stuff and just give me my canoe. And I'm going to ship it, and then go on Tumblr and reblog GIFs of my canoe.
Canoe. We're canoeing. It was really nice. It was nice to see Bruce out, too. I mean, first we have him on the mean city streets in Kat's hood. And then at the end, we have Kat in his hood, basically. Everything from when he comes over and meets Barbara, which I thought that was a cute little thing, like meeting the parents, but she's not the parent.
Yeah.
Kat's actually much more responsible than Barbara is. But, you know, meeting the adult that she's living with. to that, can I tell you how much I love the line when they're dancing and she says that everybody's looking at them and he goes, well, I am Bruce Wayne. I am. It's just like this matter of fact, like, of course they're looking at me. This is a Wayne Enterprise thing. I'm Bruce Wayne. I'm the last Wayne. Why wouldn't they look at me? It's my ball. You know, it was so cute. Well, I am.
It killed me, Heather. It honestly killed me. Well, I am Bruce Wayne. For a second there, I flashed to Gossip Girl, which aired on CW way back when, that had Chuck Bass, who was outrageous and a womanizer, and everything bad that he said, yeah, I can do that, or yeah, I could do it, I did it. It was, why? Well, I'm Chuck Bass, right? And this was, well, I'm Bruce Wayne. And I could see the future womanizer right there. Well, of course they're looking at me. I'm Bruce Wayne. Like, I am that awesome. And what I love, like,
Chuck, like you were saying with Gossip Girl, Chuck would actually say that with this arrogance about him. This, of course, yeah. Why wouldn't they want to? Because I'm Chuck Bass. And Bruce says it, and I'm going to give it to David again. The way he says it is very, like, this whole Batman methodical kind of rational thinking that's there. It's like in his mind, he's connected the dots. My parents were killed. I'm the remaining Wayne. This is a Wayne Enterprise charity. I haven't been seen very much because of all of this stuff, and I'm out at this, and I'm dancing with this attractive young girl. Why wouldn't they be looking at me? Because
I'm Bruce Wayne.
Not like, hey, I'm Bruce Wayne, and everybody.
Oh, no, he's going to grow into that arrogance later on, clearly, yeah. You know, when he's in his 20s or so. But it was, you know, that's how it starts. It starts innocent, you know, and then they grow up. And my canoe becomes a ship, and then it becomes an armada.
I think Kat's going to be able to hold her own in the future. I really liked how David played this. And, I mean, there was a little jarringness in how they introduced us to those two different sides. How we go from, you look nice, to suddenly they're fighting again, and it's like, I didn't say anything about murder. Shh, you know, I'm like, okay, there has to be some transition in there that we're just not seeing. That's a writer thing. You know, like, how did we get from, I'm googie stupid over you, even though I don't know what googie stupid means yet, to, hey, you murdered that guy. There's something there that we're missing that the writers didn't put in there. But the two actors, I think, portrayed both their parts really well. And I really believed their two sides. You know, like you were saying, how she's shaping Batman and how he's really shaping Catwoman. You know, I did want to kill him, but there's a line I'll never cross. Well, I would. I'd do it again. It didn't bother me one bit. That's the moment I saw Catwoman and Batman.
Yeah. Because she's going to always cross the line that he's not willing to cross. And even if his line, so to speak, moves forward, and there's more and more morally ambiguous things that he's willing to do, she's always going to be that one step farther, doing things he hesitates to do, and that sums up Batman-Catwoman conflict perfectly. And it does. That's awesome. Can't wait for David Mazurz and Carmen to grow up, so they can actually star in Batwoman, but you know, Batman Catwoman ship. It can be called Batwoman because that's an actual, you know, superhero. Let's come up with the shipping name for them. We have a few years to come up with one. It's a project.
Well, we still have our canoeing name.
Yeah.
We have to do on the BW, on the Bruce Wayne, or it's actually kind of like the CW, Cat and Wayne.
Nice.
Wrong network. Sorry, Fox.
It's okay.
I like the subtlety that they had with that, because it was one of those that it was first a really great moment, and then you kind of go, oh, wow, now we've seen Cat. This episode we've seen Riddler first come out. I think this is when we're really first seeing Catwoman first come out. not all of her abilities, but that line that everybody, you know, these people are crossing the lines. We've had Cat cross the line into Catwoman. We've had Ed cross the line into Riddler. We've had Penguin kind of finally cross the line into trying to be more hands-on with things. So you have a lot of people crossing the line, and you have Bruce drawing that line in the sand that he won't cross. Kind of like Jim drawing that line as well. So let's go ahead and finish off with everybody else, because everybody else is kind of mishmashed into the whole crime ogre, Milo and Babs.
Major multi-episode arc.
Yeah, it's... We start with our little bit of Lee in there, where Bruce is really concentrating on this. This I thought was probably actually one of my favorite, oh my gosh, not really oh my gosh, because I knew where it was going, but how the link was, is Bruce, not Bruce, Jim is focusing on, if I go after the ogre's going to go after those people that I love. I love Lee. He finally does say, I do love you. Okay, I'll take it. If I was a woman, okay. I'll take it for now. At least we've made a step. You've actually said those words.
Yeah.
Sort of. We got to get a little bit better. But he's really focusing on Lee is the one in danger. Harvey's focusing on the one. Lee is the one in danger. We've got to protect Lee. As long as Lee's at the precinct, she's fine. Maybe you should get out of town. You know, I want to make this announcement that I'm not going to cower to the ogre. I'm going after him. Are you okay with this? I'm fine. Go get him. I'm not running away. And it's only really at the end that he connects the dots. Thank God he connected the dots finally, that it wasn't somebody else connecting the dots for him or him realizing it too late, that him and Lee aren't really that public, but him and Barbara were.
Yeah.
And that paper printing the picture of him with Barbara back when they were together, Lee's not in danger. Barbara's the one in danger. So I liked that we started with Lee, and then we don't see her again, really, after those first few things. And then we transition to Barbara being back.
I am surprised that I'm going to say what I'm going to say, because I never anticipated I'm going to say such a thing, but I was kind of glad that we didn't see Lee a lot, and that it wasn't about Lee being in danger, because the moment they showed her taking a bath while Jim is trying to call her, I was like, please do not go for yet another cliche. There are things that I'm just not going to, you know, handle well if you do them. So please.
They did go with one cliche that I was okay with. She has a cat. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, as a cat owner, I am also okay with that because, well,
that's a cliche. I'm okay
with. My cat is within earshot, and it's dangerous to say that I'm not okay with a cat. So I'm okay with that. But I was also glad that they didn't go with, you know, the naked victim who is, you know, knocked out while wearing nothing but a towel. So yeah, you know, yay, small victories. I did like the way Jim connected the dots. Because it wasn't too obvious when he and Ogre were talking. It wasn't too obvious. And I could see why it would take him a little while. Especially since at the time they had other leads for him to follow, more obvious ones. So that was nice. That was well paced as far as the crime went. Plus, you know, we saw the captain, Captain Essen. Hey, welcome back. Hey. We've missed you. Is this major multi-episode story arc when you earn your place on a poster that you got at the beginning of the show? Hopefully. I am being mean, I know. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. But Captain Essen and Bullock and Jim, you know, working together, it's like the trio is back in action. So that was nice. What?
Oh, the good cops were going.
Yeah.
Since we saw the bad cop with the Riddle Man, we do have a good cop corps that I like that.
Yeah,
too.
But the good cops still missing Montoya and Allen, the only honest cops in Gotham. TM. But yeah, that was nice. I missed Essen, so that was nice.
I agree with you, and I like that he figured it out and that it wasn't too obvious, because everybody, Bullock and Essen and all them, are like, okay, we've got Lee taken care of. And it was a subtle clue. It's not something that we necessarily would have picked up. It does make me kind of wonder, was this a picture in the paper or something that we did see at some point? Was it in the series and we just didn't see it? So like a cool little early little shout out to the future storyline. But the fact that he, when they're asking him, what else did he say? He just said, you know, that blah, 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 and with a cop and blah, blah, and then realizing that the exact wording he used clicked to this paper and connecting the dots and running over to Barbara's and seeing Kat and asking Kat and having Kat confirm that, yeah, this is the guy. That's the guy. It's a bad picture. It's a bad drawing, but that's the guy. It made me almost glad that Barbara's back.
Mm.
And here's where I'm going to say almost glad. She does have something to do in the story. I like the fact that when she first meets Milo in the beginning and they go back to the apartment, he's ready to kill her. He's ready to go ahead and take her out. And she's just, let yourself out. I mean, she shuts him down and she's not taking crap from anybody anymore. I think she's finally hit whatever that wall is and she's ready not to do it. But the thing I didn't like was something going in the stereotype. I will take the single woman with a cat stereotype. No problem. I'm fine with that. No problem whatsoever. But the fact that Milo plays, and I know it's Jason Lennon, but it's Milo. The fact that Milo plays, we're not saying that because you're not doing a good job as the ogre and Jason Lennon and Jason whatever and all this. It's your Milo. The fact, though, that his character plays to her damaged side. And you see her change when he hits on all of those things about her damage, how he appeals to that. Aren't you tired of playing games of hiding? And she's just like, yes. It just, with the way, I think if it had been almost any other character, like if it had been Lee that said those words, it might be different, but the fact that Barbara has been treated so shabbily by the writers, this is my one rant on this episode, how we've called her this unnecessary character that had great potential at the beginning and then had an even bigger, I mean, not even a few steps back like Penguin, but like the black hole that just sucked all her potential away, for her to come back and have importance because she's damaged and he's playing on that damage. I don't know how I like that.
This is me trying to decide how much of my feels on this subject I should share. Because we are almost through on our podcast. I mean, we are talking about the last thing that we wanted to talk about. And I wanted to remain.
Well, we still have Jim and Harv stuff that we could go back to and make things happier. Like the whole actual crime fighting and trying to find him. We still have that.
But I started by saying that it's the beginning of the podcast and I am currently rant-free. And it's not so much a rant. Because rant implies having strong emotions about this particular thing.
And we rant because we care.
Yeah, and when we rant, it's usually because we hate something. And we wanted this thing to be better. But the biggest problem that I have with everything here is that I no longer care. I am all tapped out of caring about Barbara and what's going to happen to her. Because I don't remember if the show got picked up for second season already. But assuming it did, it's not relevant. Let's assume Gotham comes back in season 2. It's highly possible that I'm going to simply absolutely forget what happened to Barbara in season one.
Yeah, it was renewed for
one,
second season.
One reason, and that's when we met Barbara at the beginning of the season, she had this complex backstory. She battled drugs, addiction, and, you know, whole problem thing that she had that we didn't really delve into. She was in a toxic relationship with Renee. She battled and won and, you know, emerged victorious and this whole new person. And she got this really awesome boyfriend who's, you know, righteous and does good things and blah, blah, blah. And now we're at the end of season one and it's like she never battled and won anything. Like, this is what we were told her struggles were, you know. She's jaded, she takes pills, she drinks too much, she's basically, you know, a spoiled brat with rich parents. And that's, it's like all the character evolution that we were told she had at the beginning of the season, it's like they decided to retcon all that, you know, reset the character, and we now have the Barbara that we were told used to be, basically. And I'm not hating it, but I basically don't care, because if the writers just want to reset a character with no interest in what they are erasing, that I do not feel obligated to invest my emotions into a character they will just reset every time they think they have a use for her. So I'm all tapped out of caring.
A lot of that I agree with. I think that having... I almost wish that they had just left her middle ground really ambiguous. Remember that scene, that whole bit that we wanted to forget when she goes back to her parents and, it, you know, moving back in with them and doing all this kind of stuff? And we were saying how this scene doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense even more now with how she came back. I would almost rather she disappeared and was just completely, totally, and utterly gone and came back like this. But seeing how she was with Montoya and Montoya kicking her out and with her parents and just these little bits made this even more, why is she back? Why is she like this? Why is she, does she suddenly have this backbone that she didn't have after the whole Falcone incident? Is it the drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it she's lost everybody? Is it, you know? And I'm not even saying that because I care. I'm just perplexed at how she came back. And like you were saying, how you just didn't even care. It was almost in the ball when Kat is dancing with Bruce, she looks over and sees Babs dancing with Milo. And Kat has this momentary look of concern. Like, something doesn't seem right. And then she's like, yeah, okay, whatever, I don't care. I mean, that's kind of how I almost feel with Barbara right now. It's like, what's going on with this? Oh yeah, that's right, I don't really care. Because the writers have made me not really care. They've turned Barbara really into this object. I mean, even that outfit she was wearing when she's back in her apartment with Kat, she's basically wearing just like this really super tight fitted jacket with high heels as she's walking around her house so that we can see full legs, and she's being like sex kitten thing around Kat at home. And I'm like, really? I mean, I'm not saying that Barbara would be in sweats, but really? We have to dress her like this now? That's not how she dressed at the beginning of the season. You know, it's like, what are we trying to say about Barbara? And I go from almost caring to remembering that I don't really care.
I think what you just said is the biggest problem with the character, because the writers have turned her into an object. And it's an object that they take out of the closet when they have a plot they want to, you know, use. And, hey, we need a female. We can't use Lee because she's currently the love interest. So, yeah, women only can have one role. And Fish is not coming back. Not touching
that. We're not going there.
Yeah, not going there at all.
That's last, so, see last week's rant.
Kat and Ivy are underage. So, yeah, we can't use them because parents' association of whatnot that you guys have in America.
That's right. Blame America.
Yeah, I always do. I'm from Europe. We always blame America.
And we blame Canada.
And we can't use Montoya because, well, she's the lesbian that actually disappeared. So, hey!
And Alan, I think, are off like in Bora Bora or something. I don't know.
Yeah, probably enjoying the well-deserved rest now that Gordon is in charge.
Exactly.
So, yeah, let's take this sexy lamp out of the closet. We have Barbara. And let's use her. And that's literal meaning of the verb. Let's use her. Mm-hmm. Let's not have her character experience something. No, let's use her. And that's well, kind of not fair and to the character and to the actress. Come on. Erin Richards was amazing. The very beginning, and I think she's doing her best with what she's mm-hmm. given. But, you know, she can't do magic. She can't make something when there's nothing to do.
I think she's loving what she's getting to do in this storyline, because the way she's really digging her teeth and nails into it with this just kind of I don't care bitchiness about her. This, you know, like, I loved when she was like, you can see yourself to the door. The way she did it, the way she, I think her as an actress, she's loving this.
Mm.
Because she hasn't had anything else to do since she turned in, did that tip way back in our kids were being abducted and this isn't right. Ever since that Barbara, she hasn't had anything to do. So as an actress, she's probably loving it. I'm not loving the fact that the only way we can get Barbara back and have her have an opportunity to show her acting chops at all is to make her the target of our new latest bad guy, who major multi-episode story arc. Yeah, 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 we get it, we get it. Because Milo's name is even in the credits at the same level as Marina. So he's not, it is a major multi-episode story arc. He is a major character for right now. But the only way that we can get Barbara back is to make her a potential victim and then, you know, try and let her have some fun with it. I mean, you know, that end scene.
Yeah, the 50 Shades of Grey.
That at least was so much better than that end scene with Barbara and Montoya that, oh my gosh, really? They're in bed together? Shocker! I didn't know that you were going to get to that so soon. It was obvious you were heading that way. Having them go into this S&M room and her walk in and him come up there and then cutting there. I'm like, okay, you left with some tension because is she intrigued? Like, okay, I've now crossed over to the dark side kind of thing. And with everything I've been through, the S&M stuff, kind of intriguing. And ooh, you're a bad boy. Or is she scared? Or so at least that was a good cliffhanger for me, I thought. But that's the only way we can get her back, is if she's the target.
Yeah. On a lighter side. That is going to be probably a better story than 50 Shades of Grey and Twilight. So, you know, there's that. There's something to look forward to. Although, that's kind of a desperate attempt on my part to see some good in this.
What would be intriguing, if the writers had the balls to do it, would be, because we know where Barbara is supposed to end up.
Yeah.
You know, we know this, that she is going to be back on the good guy's side with Gordon some way, somehow, some shape, some form, mm-hmm. whatever Gotham is. But that's where we're supposed to end up. That doesn't mean they can't change things. What would be intriguing is after, based on the whole thing last week that I was saying that, you know, with Fish gone, we don't have a contemporary of that general age bracket on the bad side that's a woman. It would actually be, in a way, intriguing to see Barbara, maybe even temporarily, be on that side.
Mm.
And maybe Jim bring her back and let her have something to do other than tortured rich girl who has a substance abuse problem.
See, I wouldn't mind her being the tortured rich girl who has a substance abuse problem if that's how she was introduced from the start. But since they are doing this right now, after they already gave us a backstory that she has beaten this, she's better than this, it just leaves this taste in my mouth that, you know, been there, done that, whatever. Still
yeah. Not caring. Well, I don't know. I think it would be intriguing if they had the balls. Let her be a baddie for a while. Let her...
Yeah... This is Gotham we're talking about. That's not going to happen.
I know. Yeah, I know. Because they write really great
male
characters.
Yes.
Let's finish up talking about that, because that will at least be a little bit of a high. We have our actual crime. We have Bullock and Jim trying to chase down the ogre who has killed 11 women.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Harv, you know, saying each one was someone's daughter. You know, they're really trying to track this down and really trying to make this human. And Milo's on top of them, and he's spying on them and almost runs our cops down there. And it's really taunting them with this. This is your only warning. I mean, they actually had to do... Here's the thing I really like. Well, okay, here's something I don't like. Harv, really? You only got a partial plate on that? I mean, you were staring at the car for quite a while. You're a cop. You're not a civilian that is like, oh my gosh, there's a car ready to hit us. You're a cop. Look for... Get the plate. But they're actually having to do some detective work. Oh my gosh. As they try and track this guy down and get warrants so that the clinic will actually release this and they can get... I mean, they're actually having to do cop stuff.
And the gall on the doctor, you know, to demand a warrant. What is this? This is Gotham. What do you mean you need a warrant? It was so hilarious. Oh my.
That was kind of funny, but I like the fact that they did make them actually have to do cop work, that they had to interviews, they had to try and figure things out. They discover, you know, Constance Van Groot, who looked like, you know, Mother from Psycho,
yeah,
just ready for her to be in a rocking chair looking out the window or something. You know, the butler trying to hang himself because of his son, and the scratched out images, you know, where he goes and scratches out all of his facial images, and then the whole face only a mother could love, and we see that he looks like the Elephant Man kind of thing, and they've got to try and figure this out and find him. I can't really remember the last time on the show they actually did what would be considered procedural detective work. Maybe Spirit of the Goats?
Yeah.
Was there anything since then?
No,
where they had
I
to actually
so.
Do detective work?
No, let's face it. Gotham is not known for the, you know, procedure. No crimes on Gotham. Only, you know, some light stuff to allow for villains and superheroes and gasp yet another big name. So I think, yeah, it was refreshing. That's the word that I want to use. Refreshing. We'll see how long it lasts. Can you see how disillusioned I am with this show?
Shit. I have to admit, I did like, though, the fact that they did have to do that sleuthing, that they did actually have to do something, because I'm like, you're cops, and I want you to be good cops, and I want this to not just be, oh my gosh, some magic thing happens, and you know, the crime gets solved without the cops having to be cops at all. So
yeah.
At least, to me, that was a high point, that they actually had to solve something.
It was. I will agree with you on that one.
Okay, so our high points for this episode are we actually had the cops doing cop stuff.
And canoeing.
And we had some really great canoeing. And, oh dear.
He fell into my knife.
Oh dear, stab. Oh dear, stab. If I ever stab anybody, I think I will say oh dear, because it's just so funny.
Okay.
We have only two, I'm not going to stab anybody, so. Although I have to set it up now. Somebody will see this woman stabbing somebody and saying, oh dear, and they're going to go, you know, I heard Heather on the podcast. Maybe I'll edit that part out. We only have two more episodes left in the first season of Gotham. Next week is The Anvil or The Hammer. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and give you the quick synopsis on this just because I want to see if we go yay or if we go... I have a feeling I know which one we're going to do. The ogre breaks down Barbara's emotions while Gordon and Bullock go to great lengths to track him down. Meanwhile, Penguin leads a massacre, starting an epic war while Bruce learns the truth about Wayne Enterprises and Enigma deals with his recent actions.
I mean, on the first part, because, oh no, the ogre breaks down Barbara's... Don't even get me started. But Bruce and Ed sound interesting, so there's that. And Penguin...
More copying, it sounds like, between Gordon and Bullock. Yeah. It sounds like they're going to do more detective-y stuff.
We'll see. And Penguin, well... Penguin.
Start an epic war.
Yeah.
Leads a massacre and starts an epic
that
war.
That epic word... Right now, Penguin does not deserve to anything he does being called epic. So, I'm going to be hesitant on that epic part. We'll see, unless, you know, Butch is the one orchestrating everything. Then it's going to be epic, because Butch is awesome, even though he's on Penguin's side. Yes. Seriously.
Butch and Falcone.
Yes.
They're going to do the epic part.
Yeah, and Penguin is going
just
to be...
try and take the credit.
Penguin,
and
yeah.
Something I find very interesting with this synopsis... is this is the 21st episode of the first season. There's only 22 episodes in it. This synopsis sounds like it's the second half of the episode we just talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds really like a two-parter. We're going to continue on there. There's somebody that we ranted about a lot last week who's not even mentioned in this episode. So that to me tells me that Fish has only the potential of having her storyline wrapped up in the season finale.
Yeah. And I hope it's going to be big. Because otherwise people be afraid. Be very afraid.
And it makes me go that episode that we came back with, they should have put it back. If they had to take a spring break, they should have put that Fish episode back with the other one. It probably would have been better without a 6 weeks break before it. And we would have left the break with Fish being shot and we can come back clean with the ogre.
Yeah.
They are not scheduling these right.
No, seriously. Somebody at Fox should be fired. Seriously. I'm just saying.
Listeners, thank you so much for sticking with us in this much less ranty edition of Sci-Fi for Chicks Gotham. We really do appreciate it. We would love to hear what you think about this episode. You can give us a call at 573-427-2434. That's 573-42-SCI-FI. You can also email us scififorchicks@scififorme.com. And of course, follow us and tweet us on Twitter at scififorchicks. Don't forget to go over to scififorme.com and check out Jason's recaps of the episode. See what the Stinky Boys think about Gotham in comparison to the fabulous female Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Nicely said.
I really don't know where this is going to go. And with only two episodes left in this season, I'm really wondering where I'm going to end feeling about this.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
We'll see. We'll see.
Oh, and don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice. Sci-Fi for Chicks. Let us know what you think. And we will hold out hope that Butch and the canoeing and Alfred and everybody else that we just love, we keep loving. And everybody that we have problems with somehow miraculously gets a better storyline.
Or, you know, disappears.
Maybe they'll go hang out with Montoya and Alan.
In Bora Bora.
Maybe we could do like a trade-off. They'll tag out, like somebody will tag out and they'll go out and Montoya and Alan will come back in. Maybe that's what it is. It's like a tag team thing.
Ooh. I like the way you think. I like the way you think. Let's do that.
That's what we're going on. We're pinning our hopes on that. Thank you so much, listeners. We'll see you next week or, of course, on our iZombie and Orphan Black podcast. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.